Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hey, it's Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the show. Hey, we're going to close out today, Wednesday, with three separate episodes, all part one, part two, part three. My conversation with Pastor Shane Hardin from Branches Church. Now, if you've never heard one of my Sunday spiritual podcasts, Shane joins me on occasion. I take a couple shots at him today, like I always do, for being absent in the studio for a while. But just to give you some background, if you're not familiar with Shane, he's pastor right here at the church I go to, Branches, and we met, when was it, 2003, over 10 years ago, and we've remained great friends. We live very close to each other here in Loveland, Ohio, and we just, we sat around, for example, after the show today, and we just talked for an hour about our kids who are similar ages, cell phones and the internet, and we went into it actually in today's podcast as well. We just talk about life, man. I don't know if you have anybody in your life where you can just literally put the guard down, sit back, have a real conversation about God, about life, about religion, about what's next, about, you know, just challenges. We all have challenges in our life, and so many people want to make it out like they've got it figured out, or the opposite. They don't have anything figured out, and woe is me. And Shane and I just keep it real on our spiritual podcast. And yeah, we talk about God, and we're both Christians, obviously, but this isn't about religion. It's not about trying to convert anybody to our way of thinking. It's just we want to lift you up. We want to lift you up and let you know that your greatest miracle hasn't even happened yet. And we keep the conversation very real. We go all over the place, but we tried to stay on topic of the subject today about healing, healing relationships, healing in the physical sense, healthy, and just why do bad things happen to good people? We all have questions for God when we get to heaven. And I think you'll really enjoy today's three-part podcast series. And I hope you do, because Shane and I really, we do this show regularly for you. I don't know exactly where you are right now. I don't know where you're listening to this show, but we feel led every time to give you a message of hope, of inspiration. God does love you. A miracle is going to happen if you need a miracle. You need to also make sure that you have faith. Just stay faithful. No matter how difficult things become or you think they become, have faith that your greatest day is going to happen. So I hope you enjoy these three episodes, part one, part two, part three. And I will see you back tomorrow on the Everyday Saturday podcast, where we talk about the same thing, man, the dreamer, the doer, and the entrepreneur. Here's part one of my interview with Pastor Shane Hardin. Here you go. Welcome back. It's Sam Crowley, the Everyday Saturday podcast. We're going all churchy on you today. I got my pastor, Shane Hardin. Everybody's pastor is with us today. Shane Hardin, welcome back.
Man, it's great to be here, Sam.
Are you ready to give some church to people, Shane?
Let's bring some church to Every Day is Saturday.
Yeah, hey, first of all, before, don't hit the stop button. Don't unplug from the podcast before everybody goes crazy thinking we're going to get all religious-y on you. Shane Hardin's been a buddy of mine for the past 10 years. Met Shane. We'll get into that story a little bit because, you know, he hadn't been here in about 4 years. When's the last time you're back on the show?
I knew this was coming.
Yep.
I was just trying to give your listeners a break from all of the church
all the great
stuff.
Wisdom that you bring. Yes.
You're welcome out there.
Yes. Yeah. We're not going to wait till Sunday to publish this show because it's been so darn long. We're just going to get this show out and running. It's November 12th, 2014. And it's going to be a great, we're going to talk about healing. Yeah, we might get a little God stuff in here and there, you know, just because we got to keep Shane whole. This is all part of the contract we have with him. We got to mention God so many times in the show. But with that being said, We're going to give great principles and great study. Shane, it is great to have you back.
Man, it is great to be here.
1 minute or less, tell us what you've been working on inside Branches Church. I know you're talking about healing, which we're going to talk about today. What's going on?
We've been talking about healing, and we've been doing a study that kind of takes people back through the basics of why we do the things we do. Kind of why do we baptize people? Why do we believe in the Holy Spirit? What does he do for us? What do we do with Jesus? Why did he have to die for us? We took him through, it's called Alpha, from the very beginning. It's a series that's been around the world. It's growing popularity, winning millions of people across the world, millions. And I promise you could look at the statistics on this to the Lord.
Yeah.
And so it's been an exciting series, but I'm also writing Christmas right now and an Advent series. And it's going to be a really exciting series of rebuilding our faith. And I've also been looking and praying for Branches in our third year now to find a location. And that's something I'm earnestly praying that God would bring a location to our new church. And I don't know how long you call yourself a new church. We're in our third year, so I guess... Yeah. Comparatively to the churches around us that are 70 to 100 years old, we're new. So I think that'll happen this year. I really believe it.
Well, compared to St. Peter's Basilica, you're relatively new.
We're minute.
Yeah, exactly. Do you ever get discouraged? You've been looking for a church for a while. I remember, you know, back in the springtime, I say we because I always tell people I'm part of a church plant.
You are.
Actually, I tell people I planted Branches Church.
That's awesome.
Yes.
You did.
Thank you for coming along with me for the ride.
You did. You were the fertilizer.
I planted the church.
You were more the fertilizer.
You know, it's funny, Shane. When you quote, the first time you quote somebody, speaking of fertilizer, baby Susan now is 87 days along. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
That is awesome.
I'm serious. Yeah. Talk about faith building.
Wow.
Susan has rocked our world.
It's been crazy, dude, in a great way. It's really, talk about faith. It's really, you know, emboldened me to get out there and tell people about God and Jesus and the gospel and, you know, without even having to go all churchy. And I mean it seriously, without having to quote a Bible verse. People see God working through this whole process.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been amazing. But
because that is the church.
What?
That is it. It's not churchy. It's you're being the church out there at the hospital, online.
Yeah.
You're just living it.
Yeah, and it's quiet. I'm gonna get, you know, how many people need God though? I mean, and need to believe in a greater power and a higher power. And yeah, you know, I take arrows. I know you do too. About, you know, I don't even want to get into that because we've talked about it so many times. Is there a God? Is there not a God? But I just find it wild that. By the way, I'm gonna finish that quote when you, you know, me planting the church. Let me just wrap a bow around that because I don't want to get off. I'm all ADD-ish, you know.
Yeah,
ADD is awesome because now that it's been defined, I have it. So now. 30 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to tell anybody what I have. Now I have it, which is great. So praise God for ADD, okay?
I'm not even sure what to say.
Okay. Let me just finish this topic, though. So when you originally hear a quote, you give credit to the person. Then you say, I heard it somewhere. And then the third time, you own it. It's yours. You put your name to it. That's what I do it all when I present
Incredible.
On stage.
Incredible.
Yes.
Wow.
So I helped with a church plant a couple of years ago. And then it was, I know people that now I planted it. You know, I planted Branches Church in Loveland. So
that's why I say you're the fertilizer.
Yeah, I am the church. Okay. Yeah,
let's call you the fertilizer.
Okay.
That just fits. You know, because
I just got that.
It took about six times.
Oh my
I had
God.
To say
I'm
it.
So much smarter than that, though. I'm so much smarter than that. Why did I just get that? Shane Harden, casting stones upon the glass house. What are we talking about? Baby Susan. Oh, so many people need a miracle, but here's the thing I find out. And I've made a good – you know what's funny? I've made more money, and I'm saying this because you get it. I'm not talking about money. I made more money since Susan's been in the hospital than that any 12-week period of time prior to that. And you would never think that to be true because that's when I see everybody going south when they have crisis in their life.
Yeah.
And it's because you plant the seed. And what I wanted to do 10 years ago was in case something like this – I never envisioned this happening, but just wanted to spend time with my family. And I needed a miracle 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I called out to God. I read Your Best Life Now with Joel Osteen. That's when I got very involved in our former church where you were the lead worship pastor and we got to be really going to lunch and all that stuff. And it's amazing. I see it happening in other people's lives. They don't need a miracle or think they even want one or they don't even believe in God until crisis hits them.
Right.
And it's going to happen to all of us, man.
Inevitably, we're going to hit some hard, crappy times.
But I look at people so proud and their chest out and look at me, and I've been there. I've been that guy, and I still find myself falling back into that sometimes where you don't need God. You just don't need him.
Right.
Or it, the Holy Spirit. You don't need to talk about Jesus. But boy, I'll tell you, you got a baby born at 1 pound, you're crying out to God.
Yeah, and I you know, we look at the images of baby Susan on Facebook, and immediately, you know, we have no control really to help Susan.
Zero.
And sometimes I really think God just wants us to realize how dependent we are on him. And that's the only thing that I can think of why we would ever have to experience stuff like this. And, I see you and Angela and your family, clinging to God, and all of us have been just praying and hoping and really petitioning God for a healing of her lungs and, for growing. And you know, when you posted that she's over 5 pounds,
yeah,
I mean, right. All of us celebrate, because that's hope that we have prayed for and longed for, and God is granting this in incremental steps for us. And
And I don't know why.
It's amazing.
It is. I don't know why God doesn't allow some of the families to bring their other babies home, because we've been there 3 months now in the NICU. Angela's down there right now. But I do kind of, this is my, you know, my interpretation of it. And while we're talking about healing, sometimes there is no healing except the comfort and the care you give to a baby, because you're not going to bring that baby home.
Right.
But I will tell you, had we not lost a baby at 19 weeks many years ago, we would never have known to have the inner peace we had when Susan came along at 1 pound, because, you know, 24 weeks is, it's barely viable. I mean, you're barely a viable. Not too long ago, you were under 500 grams. Susan was 460 grams. You were under 500 grams. You weren't even coming home. They wrapped you up, gave you to the parent, and it's called comfort care. But now with science and where it is now, they can save a baby, obviously. You know, our baby's walking proof. But I will say to people out there, you know, when you do go through these very difficult times, whether it's losing a loved one, a baby, a parent, a job, a relationship, whatever it is, I really do believe that God is giving you something way bigger than you could ever have in a human being, because he gave us so much more. When we lost our baby boy Matthew at 19 weeks, he gave us the discernment and the inner peace that if this did happen to us again, which this whole thing started going south the end of June, it wasn't August 17th, we started having complications the end of June, we're very much at peace. We worried, we laid awake at night. Very much though, we have no control, and we accepted that from the beginning, that it was all in God's hands, and whatever he was going to do to showcase this event, which we really believe that it was, he was going to use it, good, bad, right, or wrong, you know?
You know, I have witnessed people go through difficult times, and I have to say, you and Angela, that peace that you received from losing your little boy, that experience, you have stated it and you've lived it. It doesn't mean that there hasn't been incredibly scary moments in this process.
Right.
But I do see a peace on you guys that I know, not that you're not a strong person, but I know that you couldn't do it without the power of God.
Sure.
And so as I'm witnessing it, it's kind of blowing me away. Like, how would I handle it in that same situation? And would I be able to have, and I don't know if I could do it, but I do believe, watching you, that I know that the Holy Spirit would help me to do it like he's helping you to do it. And that's been encouraging to me, just watching you go through it. And I know you as a person who, not that you're a control freak, but you want to have things figured out.
Yeah. But that's kind of like that C-level corporate DNA string that we are control freaks. You know, it's funny you say that, because I'm going to send it back to you in just a second. I flew on a flight back from London 3 years ago almost, and the pilot darn near crashed us right into the Atlantic Ocean coming in on approach to JFK. And I mean, the wing was like, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, what's going on? You know? And so afterward, and the stewardess is just sitting there, like reading her magazine as the wind is just blowing us over the Atlantic and on into JFK. And I was the last one off the plane, because I had like a 4-hour layover before I came back to Cincinnati, and I was in no hurry to get out of my seat. And I said, holy cow, what's going on? She goes, well, the pilot he's practicing his landings. Jane, this was a newer pilot. He's been a co-pilot like forever. And the stewardess knew it. I didn't know it. And she goes, yeah, they allowed him to practice. This was like his first time into JFK. It's a little windy. So I'm like, oh my God, Does he got to practice? This plane's bigger than Paul Brown Stadium here in Cincinnati. Yeah. Does he got to practice when I'm? She goes, you're, let me guess, you own a business or you're a CEO or something like that, right? And this goes into like a whole new conversation. I'm like, yes. She goes, yeah, because you're a control freak. You're not in control. This pilot's fine. They've got three other guys sitting right next to him. He's just practicing. It was a little bumpy, but you C-level guys, and she's giving me like a lecture. You got to relax. You want too much control. So I just thought that. Yeah, I'm like, she's like diagnosing me in the.
She called you out.
Yeah, like, good for her, because you know what? I received that message.
Yeah.
So that's funny you're talking about that.
Well, you've heard me say before that following Christ is all about dying to ourselves. I think for some people that have it, they've been trained or they're equipped or their personality is C-level that you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's harder. It's a harder concept. And sometimes I think God gives us experiences that impact us in a way so we understand our humility before Christ. And there are things that humble me that are unique to the things that would affect or impact me.
Yeah.
And so I get that. I think it's a really, if I can be frank, it's a really sucky thing that we have to go through anything.
Yeah.
But I think we are so hard-headed to really understand what God is doing and that this is his plan. This isn't our plan. This is his life. This is his, Susan is his.
Yeah.
You know, he's loaning Susan to you and Angela, but we are all God's children. So for this period in time, this is, he's got this.
Yeah.
This is, you know, and this is his plan, his desire, and we can petition him and pray, and God hears our prayers. He doesn't always answer them, and it's incredibly frustrating. I don't understand why some parents leave that NICU without their babies, and the pain of that just is mind-blowing. But
it's temporary.
It's temporary because...
It's temporary pain.
And that's looking, that's stepping back and no, it's not here. And no, we don't take our baby home and raise them, but it is temporary if in the bigger picture of eternity. And
that's what I mean. Yeah. It's temporary in a sense, you know, being, you know, in my Catholic upbringing, purgatory, and we've talked about that, or even in hell, or you know, what's permanent is not knowing God. That's permanent pain.
Wow.
Because temporary pain, and I'm not if anybody has lost a child or anything like that, I am not at all discounting that. Because I've been there and it hurts. But let me tell you something, it gets better.
Yeah.
The permanent pain of not knowing God and living without peace and having that inner turmoil is way worse pain for me because I've been there too.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm not perfect. I'm just having a conversation. I'm just trying to help people understand that it's never too late to come to God. It's never too late to come back to God. It's never too late to surrender. And it's never too late to say, I don't have all the answers. But losing a child, a parent, a job, a relationship, going bankrupt, losing your entire life savings, that's all temporary. Wouldn't you agree?
That is an amazing statement.
I'm an amazing person. I don't think I give myself nearly enough credit.
Let's go back to the humility part. You know, I will tell you this right here that we're talking about, you know, you've hit in our conversations before, you always find the very things that people hinge their ability to believe in God. Okay, this is one of those things. This is a thorn in people's side. This is a burr in their saddle, whatever you want to say. This is the thing that people will say, how can I believe in a God who lets a child die with cancer or lets, you know, someone in my family die when they are such a great believer? Or, you know, my grandparents were both pastors and they died really, really rough, disease-ridden lives.
Who's
with
that?
My grandparents.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I look at them and I think, why did they have to get Alzheimer's or dementia? And why did one suffer with congestive heart failure and sit at their bedside as they took their last breath? And I used to think, I mean, God,
a horrible death.
These were servants that served you and loved you. And so I don't normally do this on the podcast, but...
Well, that seems like a good place to stop part one. What doesn't Shane normally do on a podcast? Head on over to part two. It's live right now on iTunes. Sam Crowley, have the best day ever.